Well, as I said, I'm very happy to be here, partly because this chapel represents a lot for me, a lot of my own spiritual growth. Years ago, I spent many, many hours in this chapel, both listening to Father Francis, participating in the Mass, and also in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. So to come back here is a joy for me. And it's a joy for me to find out that some of you are also coming here to this chapel to adore Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. Well, that's the purpose of the holy hours for the children. So, and I like to see children. We have a lot of children in the Philippines, you know. It's a young country. But they can't understand me because most of them speak a different language, or if they speak English, they don't understand my version of English. So maybe you don't understand me either. So a lot of people don't understand me yet. But anyway, so it's always delightful to have children around, and so welcome to all of you. Now it happens that this gospel is about the Eucharist. In fact, we've been, if you're following the daily gospels this week, they're all about the Eucharist, because we've been reading from John chapter 6, which is Jesus teaching on the bread of life. Now, maybe the children haven't been reading the gospel every week, but the Anuam people have, because that's the Anuam style, right, to ponder the word every day. So before we get to this gospel, since it starts out in the middle of a conversation, it starts out with, "This saying is hard, who can accept it?" Well, if you didn't know what was said previously, what does this saying refer to? So let me just review a little bit what has happened in this John chapter 6. First of all, last Saturday, Jesus multiplied the loaves. So a miracle having to do with bread. And then the people who were so attracted to this miracle of bread, they followed Jesus to Capernaum, and they start asking him questions. And he said, "Well, you're not really looking for me, you're really looking for more bread." So he starts to enter into a conversation with them so that they will appreciate what he has to give, which they don't know yet. And in the course of the chapter, he starts to give them more and more understanding of what he really wants to give, which is the Eucharist. But, and maybe this didn't happen all at once. In the gospel, it's all just one chapter, but you know, Jesus may have talked with them over a longer period of time. But for us, it's all condensed into one chapter. So he says, "Well, what you really want is bread that will give you life." And they say, "Well, yeah, give us this bread. We want this bread." And then he says, I'm the bread. I'm the bread of life." And they don't know what he's talking about. And then he says, I came down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of the one who sent me." And they say, "What do you mean? He came down from heaven. How can he call himself bread? How can he say he came down from heaven?" So they're already having a little trouble. And then he takes this other step and says, "Well, the bread that I have to give is my flesh for the life of the world." And that kind of freaks them out because whoever heard of eating human flesh? Sounds like cannibalism. And that's where we come to here. And Jesus yesterday, he said, no, this is absolutely necessary. If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have life. But if you do eat my flesh and drink my blood, then you will have life. You'll live forever. That's why we pay so much attention to the Eucharist. That's why we love to gather people here for adoration of the Eucharist, because the Eucharist is the source of our life, our eternal life, not our life in this world. Okay, so that's as far as we got. Now, this is where we pick up the conversation with the disciples saying, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" Well, it is hard. And Jesus knows it's hard. It's hard. It's hard for people to make the step of faith to accept that he's really present in the Eucharist. Last week, I've been traveling around a little bit, or 2 weeks ago. I was with a Protestant man, so he doesn't believe in the Eucharist, but he sometimes goes to Catholic masses because he's married to a Catholic woman. So we were chatting a little bit, and he shared an insight he had about the Mass. He said, "Well, when that priest holds up that round white wafer, everybody prays," or something. I don't know what he said, but he called it that round white wafer. I said, "Well," then I remember, he doesn't know what it is. Well, and he said, for me to say that's the bread of life or that's the body and blood of Christ won't mean anything to him. He would say that saying is hard. Who can accept it? It doesn't even look like bread. I mean, bread to us is like a loaf. But the Eucharist is in a form of a unleavened bread. It's flattened down. It looks like a wafer. And it doesn't look like Jesus. It doesn't even have a face. It doesn't look like a person. I mean, how can you say it's Jesus alive, really present? Well, that's where we have to accept a hard saying with faith. We can't figure it out just with our reason. And that's why Jesus says, it is the spirit that gives life, while the flesh is of no avail. He's talking about our flesh and our human limitations. We can't figure out the mysteries of faith. We can receive them, we can understand them to a certain extent, but we can't comprehend them completely because we're of flesh and we need the Holy Spirit. So that's what he says, the spirit gives life, and the words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some who do not believe. So see the teaching he's giving? There's a step that requires faith, a step that requires welcoming what the Spirit of God gives us. It's not just our project doing what we want and coming up with our solutions. So that's why it's very important to come before Jesus with faith. I think this is what the children do. In fact, sometimes children have more faith than adults. You know that? Sometimes children can accept what is taught about the faith more quickly than adults can, because adults, with their more developed minds, sometimes their minds get in the way. If you say to a child, maybe, I don't know, if they say that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ, you say, oh, great. Amen. Amen. But if I say it to that Protestant man that I was with 2 weeks ago, he'll say, this saying is hard to accept. Who can accept it? Because he's thinking, what do you mean? That looks like a wafer to me. He's not saying, I believe that that's the body and blood of Christ. See the difference? A step of faith takes us beyond what we can just figure out. Okay. Now, Jesus doesn't water down what he says about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. He doesn't change it just to make it easier for us to understand, because he knows it's hard. He says, this is it. You're going to either accept it or you don't. And then many of the people left. It says many of his disciples left. They didn't even follow him anymore. So he turns to the 12, his closest disciples. And he says, do you also want to leave? As if to say, this is what I have to give. This is the gift I'm going to share. And if you don't want it, well, it's your choice. But I'm not going to change it just to make it easier for you. Do you want to leave? This is where Peter, the Apostle Peter, comes up with the great answer. This is a beautiful answer. I think even children would love this answer. Master, to whom shall we go? Who else is there? Who's going to give us what you give us? Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You're saying something that no one else is saying. Even if I don't understand it, I know it's words of eternal life. I know it's spirit and life. It's not just another guy talking. It's something different. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. That's a faith statement. And that's what we say when we come to Mass. We say, we're not just here in a gathering. We're not just here for a class. We're not just watching an entertaining speaker. We're here for God. We're here for the Holy One of God. It's a completely different thing. Okay, that's what Peter says, and that's what we say. We've come to believe, we're convinced that Jesus is the Holy One of God, and that Jesus gives himself to us in the Eucharist. He gives us his body, his blood, his soul, his divinity, his whole person. His whole person in the form of bread, in the form of a little wafer. It's an extraordinary gift. Okay, so Peter knows this. Now, let me just throw in one idea from the first reading. I know I can't go too long because children, they want to do other things. But we're not only the children here. By the way, a Mass, you know, even a Mass for children is not really for children. It's to worship God. I've been to children's Masses that focuses all on the children. Our focus here is not on the children. Our focus is on Jesus Christ. That's worship. So that's why I say this is not a school play or a you know, an activity of a classroom. This is worship of God. So anyway, Peter, I just throw that in on the side. Peter, who is the one who says, well, we've come to believe, you have the words of eternal life. You have something no one else has, and you give us something no one else gives us. Peter, in the first reading, now this is much, much later. This is well after Pentecost, where Peter has passed through a real trial and has seen the Lord Jesus arrested, killed, buried, and rose again from the dead. And Peter has the Holy Spirit. He goes around doing his ministry, doing things that no one can do. In this reading, he raises a man who's paralyzed for 8 years just by saying, Jesus Christ heals you, get up. And it works. That's not based on human power, right? That's divine power at work through Peter. And then even more dramatic, here's a woman, a Tabitha, who's dead. She's dead. And Peter goes in and says, Tabitha, rise up. And she gets up from the dead. I mean, you see what happens here. This is divine life being communicated through the ministry of Peter. I'll just pick out one line here, especially for the sake of the children. When Peter says to the crippled man or the paralyzed man, he's been paralyzed, been confined to his bed for 8 years. Peter says to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. Now, I've heard that some parents use this scripture to make their children make their beds. I don't think that's exactly the meaning of this scripture. It may not convince the children to make their beds anyway. Do you have to make your beds? You don't have to. Little children don't make their beds. The parents, usually the mothers, make the bed. But at some point, as the children get a little bit older, the mother says, okay, I'm not going to make your bed anymore. You make your bed. And the fact that Peter told Aeneas to make his bed isn't going to convince any children. Why should children make their beds if their parents tell them to? Because of obedience. Obedience to the parents. You see, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's good for us to obey because we learn to obey when we're children, or we should learn to obey while we're children, because if we don't learn how to submit our will to the will of some authority over us, we won't know how to submit to God. We won't know how to submit to the authority of God. We have to learn obedience in simple ways like make your bed, so that we can submit to God when he says, okay, now I want you to love your enemies, or I want you to sacrifice for the good of others. I want you to adore. We'll say, why should I do that? I'm going to do what I want. I won't obey. I won't believe. So we have to learn how to obey. Even this little fellow down here, he has to learn how to obey. See, she picks him up and drags him out of the chapel because he has to learn that there's some authority. Is that a him or a her? As a him? Okay, you said he wants to keep crawling into the chapel. Well, he has to learn, nope, there's someone in charge that countering his will, and that's a good process. That's why we love seeing children, because they're in the process of learning. They're so innocent. He's not doing anything wrong, but he still has to learn how to obey. Okay, so when he says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you, that's divine power, and it's Jesus who heals him. But get up and make your bed means you also have a part to play in this. God isn't doing it all. He heals you, but you have to take responsibility for yourself in response to the gift. You see, it's much more than making your bed. It means you do your part. You're a person. You have the power to respond. You can give yourself. You can bring order into your life. You can get up from your bed. You don't have to lie around like a lazy bum or leave things in disorder. You have a responsibility, and God isn't going to make you do it. You have to do it yourself. So Jesus heals you, but you have to get up and make your bed. You see, there's a lot more to it than simply doing what you're told. Meaning, and this is for the adults now, we have to take responsibility for ourselves. God provides everything that we need, but he doesn't make us do anything. He says, no, I'm giving it to you. Now you put things in order. You put your life in order. You serve. You make a gift of yourself. You put order into your life. You help other people. I'm not going to do it all for you. I want you to grow. So this is what we want for our children. This is what God wants for us because we're his children. Okay, so I won't go into any more than that. But you can see how beautiful it is when people accept in faith what God reveals and then decide to respond to the gift. It's one thing to say, I believe. But it's another thing to say, because I believe, I will change the way I live. That's what it means to be an adult. We decide to participate. Now, maybe the little children, maybe they come to adoration because their parents make them come. Well, that's okay if they're young. They're young because the parents make decisions like that. But as we get older, we have to make our own decisions and do our own, make our own response to God. Okay, enough talking from me. But let's move from this liturgy of the word. Now we move to the liturgy of the Eucharist, which is where Jesus will make himself present on this altar, and we can bow down and worship before him and even receive him. If you've made your first Holy Communion already, then you can receive him. Okay? So that's what we're looking forward to in this Mass. Amen.